Join the conversation. Join the
conversation. You're with Kate Talk.
I kind of feel like I'm talking about an old friend in our next interview, because for as long as I have been on air at Cape Talk, and well before that, for as long as I've been listening to the station, there has been a recurring story that comes back again and again and again. And whether you call her Bridget or Biddy or just the truck-eating bridge, if you are Capetonian, then you know that at some point in the next month or two, our traffic report is going to tell you that once again there is a truck wedged underneath the bridge in Musenberg. That bridge is actually been there longer than any of us have been alive, and her appetite for tall vehicles shows no sign of waning with age. If you are a surfer like me, you know how frustrating it is to get stuck in the traffic jam behind her when that bridge is stuck with a truck underneath it. And if you live in the area, I'm sure you are all too familiar with the ramifications for the surrounding roads when that happens. By now, you would think that every truck driver who gets behind the wheel has been warned to be careful on that stretch of road and to avoid it if they are higher than a certain height. And yet, it keeps on happening. Now, last night, the Carte Blanche team looked into the history of the truck-eating bridge, and it's such a pleasure to have producer Annelise Libber with us in studio today, who put that segment together to talk to us a little bit about what they found. I really enjoyed watching the segment, Annelise. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Zipippa. Thank you so much for having me.
I mean, many of our listeners might not have realized how old that bridge actually is. 1910, she was built, Annelise, and you had a very interesting historian talking to you about her background.
Yeah, so Chris is quite a fan of Biddy and a fan of the history of Musenberg. And it just happened to be that, you know, sometimes he walks under the bridge with a tour group, or in this case, we have a shot there just of him and one person. And he talks about Biddy and the fact that she's famous, and then lo and behold, you know, there's a sound, and as he looks up, Biddy lives up to her fame. So yeah, so he definitely is, he's been following the history of Musenberg, and as you know, the trains were there before Biddy, but the road was there. It was just a very sort of low road for horse and cart, and yeah, they had to obviously make a plan later on, and because there was so much traffic on the trail, on the trains, you know, yeah, so they widened the road, put two lanes on, and but Biddy stayed the same height, unfortunately. And yeah, that was the time before vehicles, before trucks, before buses, and
yeah. So the height of a very tall horse would have been, you know, easily fitted underneath her, but then obviously nobody could foresee.
Yeah, or a fishing rod.
The checkers truck or the fishing rod that was coming in the future. I mean, do we know when the first truck actually got stuck there? Did Chris have an idea when it first happened?
I don't think that anybody has actually followed the, you know, the history of Biddy that closely. I just know that when Tessa from the surf shop said that in 1971, when they opened their first surf shop and they started hearing the kaboom, that's when Peter was told by the local, no, no, don't worry. It's not coming to an end. It is just a truck being stuck under Biddy. So as far as we know, you know, obviously locals, there might be locals who will phone in and say, yeah, well, we are aware of it right back to 1930 or possibly sooner.
I'd love to hear from them. I mean, as you said, I mean, Tessa, who was featured in the show last night, Tessa Moore and her partner Peter run their surf shop there. That opened in 1971. So by 1971, it was already a regular occurrence and most locals didn't bat an eyelid. I wonder if anybody listening has lived in Musenberg longer than that and can take us a little bit further back in history and tell us the first time you remember seeing or hearing it happen, that a truck got stuck underneath that bridge. If you can take us prior to 1971, give us a call, please, on 021-446-0567, or you can pop me a WhatsApp to 072-567-1567. Now, you had somebody who's literally got a bird's eye view talking to you last night, Trader Prekel, one of the residents of one of the tallest buildings, or in fact the tallest building in Musenberg, and she told you she sees it happen at least once a month, Annelise.
Oh, at least, yes. Yeah. So her flat is on the 6th floor. Well, it was. She's now on another floor, but at the time, until very recently, the 6th floor was her bird's eye view, and yeah, she just had all these amazing opportunities to hear the sound, to capture the moment, to take the photograph, and in one instance, she sent it to the Bild, and she's so proud. She won a little bit of a 150 rand for her photograph, her prime photograph, but yeah, the incidents kept on occurring, and she had a prime view, And yeah, she reckons there are solutions for it, but the solutions, is a long story.
Very, very costly. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, if, just to put it in perspective, you interviewed Bernard Oosthuizen, the head of the Transport Network Technology for City of Cape Town. And it was so interesting to hear it put into bold numbers that that bridge is, the clearance is roughly 2.4, 2.5 meters. The norm for a bridge is 5.2. So it's less than half the usual, which explains why truck drivers might easily misread it, think they're going to clear it and get stuck. Having said that, though, I mean, there's plenty of signage up, Annelies, to warn them that there is a potential hazard ahead.
Exactly. And the signs are from both Baden-Powell or the R310, which ends up being Atlantic Road, and it approaches the bridge. So there's signage there already. And lo and behold, you actually see trucks coming and you see the sign picking up that their height is of an oversize, and you still see them turning left. On the day that we went there, there was actually an occasion, and I thought, now where are they going to turn? Are they going to go around Musenberg serving corner and then realize that they're, or are they going to be another sort of victim of Biddy? And then on the other side, on Main Road, approaching where you see the checkers on the right-hand side, same thing, you know, down Atlantic Road, there is another huge sign, but they just simply ignore the signs. So, yeah, that's unfortunately that they just don't read the signs. But as Troida said, she says, I don't know the height of my vehicle, and maybe the truck drivers don't. They should go for training.
It's a fair comment. You know, I'm thinking, my husband drives a car with roof racks and windsurfer boards on top of it, so we're constantly thinking about what's the clearance of the vehicle, can you go under that? He's acutely aware of it because of the damage to the boards and the expense of that if it happens. You would think that a truck driver would have the same sort of sense of how tall I am and what the risk is. As you've mentioned, there's actually a very sophisticated 3D laser system there that sort of reads the height of the truck and flashes up a warning if they're not going to make it, and still it's ignored all the time. Somebody's just WhatsApped to say Bridget had a truck for breakfast today.
Apparently, yeah.
I can't believe it. It had to be Murphy's Law. Yeah. An SMS in from Erica in Melkbosstrand, talking about potential solutions. So what's there right now is the laser system that alerts a truck if it's too tall. Erica's comment is, there is a very simple solution that I saw in England, which is to put a steel structure over the road with chains hanging down a few metres before the bridge. If your truck hits the chains, you won't fit under the bridge. It's so simple, but no one seems to listen to me, says Erica.
That was something that we also asked. But apparently the city has been, well, I'm not certain if they were sued or if they were, something happened that apparently there was a system in place. And this is only hearsay.
Okay.
And one of the vehicles was damaged. I think that their fear is that the vehicle, so let's rather say that the fear is that the vehicles might get damaged if there is a system of, like a gantry board with chains hanging. And then that would leave them open for a cost,
suits.
You know.
Okay.
So that might be the reason why that has not been implemented. But we do know, of course, the road can't be lowered because of all these systems, the water, sewerage systems, etc., that runs underneath it. Tess, I reckon we should just give it a big Hawaiian fluffy skirt. Derek says we should just give it some jaws and everybody will see the bridge and immediately thinking, okay, right, maybe there's something, there's a warning
that
here
I need to take note of. Yeah. You know, you can almost sort of think of somebody who is, you know, coming to the end of a long trip. Maybe they've been on the road all day. I've done it myself. I've arrived at home and realized I'm not really conscious of the last bits of my drive. Those last few kilometers have been done on autopilot. So I can understand how it happens despite the big sign flashing. As you've said, though, Annelies, not possible to lower the road because of all the cabling and infrastructure underneath. The other option, of course, is the very expensive one. What do you do with the railway line? Can you lift a railway line? Can you reroute it somewhere else? Yeah. That's a hugely pricey exercise.
Yeah, so to raise the railway line would be almost impossible purely because of the cost. And obviously, it would be huge additional infrastructure. You know, so that's not going to be an option at all. And I think that for the time being, that's just how it is going to be. The GPS... possibly could warn truck drivers, but we do know that if you put your GPS on, it doesn't tell you that there's a bridge that you're going to approach, which is too low. So, you know, even the GPS is not helping. I think truck drivers just put GPS in when they want to take the shortest route, and that's where they get stuck.
Now, I wonder if anybody listening is in sort of logistics and supply chain management, and whether you want to talk to us about how you educate drivers around this kind of hazard and what you do as a company to make sure that this kind of obstacle is avoided. Do you find it's an issue of people being under so much pressure? And I'm aware of the economics of it. You know, the drivers are under pressure to deliver on deadline to get where they've got to be within a certain time frame. You can understand how that is their focus, Annelies, not paying careful attention to the height of the bridge they're about to go underneath. I suppose once you've done it once, you'll never do it again, one hopes. Having said that, though, as you mentioned in the segment last night, I think it was within the space of 3 weeks, three separate ShopRite Checkers trucks were taken out last year.
Yeah, I think it was in 1 week that Biddy just had a feast. so that was quite. But obviously, the training from the truck drivers is important, but also the owners of companies who have drivers out on their road should always warn them that, you know the height of your bridge because of your vehicle, because there are some bridges. Apparently there's one in Irene, and there's this famous one, the 11-foot-8-inch bridge in California, which we call the can opener. And you saw in that little video snip how she literally shaves off
the trucks.
Yeah, and there was a locked off camera, and that's why there's amazing videos. But doesn't quite have that.
She's not famous enough for that just yet, although she's working on it for sure. Just for those who might have joined us late to the conversation, Annelies Libbe is in studio with me, the producer who put together that segment you might have seen on Carte Blanche last night about our famous truck eating bridge in Musenberg. And I say our deliberately because I do feel almost like she's part of the family after all the years we've been reporting on the incidents there. I mean, does Biddy herself ever get damaged in these incidents? Annelies, obviously the trucks are getting their tops peeled off, and we saw water tankers being smashed and go flying, but has the bridge withstood the damage?
Underneath the bridge, on the roof side, underneath side, there are some scrapings, etc., but you obviously see it on the outside as well. You see bits of trucks, truck metal being stuck there. But as you, from the incident last night, the colourful characters that we've met, Ibrahim Kassim that lives under the bridge, I mean, he's literally a meter away from the road, and he was just saying, but this is his home. He arrived 15 years ago and he's made it his home. Yeah. So you also get those people who says that, but this is my mother,
He spoke about her with almost affection.
Yeah, he did. And he sweeps the little road and he's got his books and he says, I'm sitting here reading my book and I have to make sure that there's no dust. And, and then try and warn them, hello.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, surely the more cost-effective alternative than putting in expensive systems is to post somebody with a red flag to wave at trucks that they can see are potentially too high, to say, please be aware, check the sign, check your clearance. Yeah. I wonder if that's not the most cost-effective solution of all and a job creator at the same time.
Yeah, they could possibly, because I think that certainly the street people who live under the bridge, they've been very exposed to this kind of the incidents and so on, but they still live there.
I bet Ibrahim Kassim could see from a mile away which ones are going to get stuck, and maybe somebody needs to go there and pay the man to stand with the red flag and wave them down before it happens. Annelies, I mean, we can joke and make fun of it. Obviously, for the owners of those trucks, it's no laughing matter with the damage that's being done. As you've said, though, it's a very difficult situation to fix without massive investment on the city's part. So thank you for the digging that you did do. Last question, anything that didn't make it into the TV version of the segment last night that you maybe heard behind the scenes that you can share with us?
Well, I think that just the sheer, sort of chance of meeting these colourful people and each one's take on it and how they feel about the bridge. And you're kind of thinking, if they are going to change the bridge, it's almost going to change like the atmosphere of Musenberg. You know, she's become just like part of the story. And rather just redirect those trucks and maybe try and get a GPS with a warning system that I think that would rather,
save the beach huts and leave Biddy where she is to keep on dining as she pleases. Annelies, lovely to have you with us in studio today. Thanks for an absolutely delightful segment to watch and a very interesting one. I, for one, didn't know the history of the bridge, and I was really interested to hear the sort of the expert view on just how comparatively low it is compared to the norm. Thank you for joining us in studio today.
Thanks, Pippa.
And to our listeners who didn't see Carte Blanche last night, do remember, if you've got access to catch up, you can find the latest episode there. If you don't have access to DSTV, wait a day or so and the segment should be loaded on the Carte Blanche website.